Well, welcome, 11 o'clock church. We're so glad to see you, and I especially admire the courage with which you forged through the snow that was forecast this morning. You're all from the Midwest, and you put on your snow tires yesterday, right? And you all have four-wheel drives or all-wheel drives, and so you're here. The faithful core, the faithful remnant, bless your hearts. We're so glad you're with us this morning as we end Paul's journey through Galatians. This has been a great series, hasn't it? Paul's journey through Galatians, 1-6, heaven is now. And I think it's been very, very fruitful, especially last week as we took a look once again at Paul's fruit of the Spirit. And once again, we were reminded that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, you know it's still from our Lenten series 3-4 years ago. And I think it's been a special treat, too, the last two Sundays to have two of our three pastoral candidates weigh in on the series and give us their slant. That's been a special blessing as well, don't you think? So this week, as we wrap it all up, chapter 6 of Galatians, Paul ends on a very practical note. After giving us all of the theology, he ends on a very practical note as he describes to us what life in the Spirit and our freedom in Christ looks like. Let's take a closer look. Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. And you'll find this on page 1673. And let's read together verse 2 as a congregation. Verse 2, as Paul says this, again, page 1673 in verse 2 of chapter 6, Paul says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And maybe we could say heaven begins now as we bear one another's burdens. So I have a question for you at this point. Has Paul contradicted himself? Because after all, hasn't the main point of the letter been that we're free from the law? And that we have freedom in Christ? So along comes Paul at the very end of his letter now, chapter 6, coming along talking about how we may now fulfill the law of Christ. What do you think? Is he contradicting himself or maybe not? Let's take a look at the study note. If you'll back up one page before, just back up one page from Galatians 6, and you see that study note there at the bottom of page 1670. It poses the question, should we obey or ignore Old Testament law? Now, that's a question, as a pastor, I've heard many people wrestle with today, and even in the church. Should we ignore or obey Old Testament law? So there's four paragraphs there. Take a look at the third paragraph, the second paragraph from the bottom. And if we were to pick it up with the second sentence of that third paragraph, it explains that Paul called the law holy, spiritual, in Romans 7, and good if... And this is a big if, so hang on tight. If one uses the law properly, such as Paul describes in 1 Timothy 1. But, here's the problem. If the law is used improperly as a way to try to earn salvation, and who was trying to do that according to Paul's letter to the Galatians? The Judaizers, the legalists. They were trying to use the law improperly as a way to earn salvation or to try to impress other people. Now, who in Jesus' day was trying to impress other people with their use of the law? Who was it? Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law. Absolutely right. Trying to impress others with how well they knew the law and they lived out the law. If the law is used in that way, Paul says, it serves only to impose a curse. And you'll recall in Galatians chapter 3 weeks ago, we talked about that curse of the law quite a bit. We talked about how we still oftentimes find ourselves living under the curse of the law. The curse of the law is that voice that urges us to do more. You got to do more. You got to do more, more, more. Try harder till suddenly we find ourselves hitting a wall with exhaustion, running on E. Life in the Spirit invites us to let go of the curse of the law and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. How about that? To live in the power of the Holy Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and invites us to let go of our need to do more, 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 till we find ourselves exhausted, but instead to maybe at times to let go and to let others do some things and to let others maybe help us, so that in verse 2 he says, let us bear one another's burdens. Yes, heaven begins now as we bear one another's burdens. Did you notice what the chapter title is for chapter 6? Doing Good for All There. I think it was about 2 months ago, middle of October, that Pastor Rick Russo came from Life Bridge just up the highway here, and he preached, and we really had a great weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed the weekend. I'd love to have him back sometime. And some of you know Rick. He's a great guy. And some of you know that he wrote a few books a few years ago that have gotten quite a bit of attention about externally focused churches and learning to be externally focused Christians. And I really agree with Rick that that is what God wants. That God wants churches to be externally focused and Christians to be externally focused. And Lord knows whenever churches and Christians become internally focused or self-focused or self-absorbed, we begin to die, don't we? Self-absorbed churches begin to die. Self-focused churches and self-absorbed Christians begin to die too. Maybe it's one of the main keys of health in our Christian faith that we learn to be externally focused, so that the more that we're reaching out to others, to family and friends with the love and grace of Christ Jesus, the more the community of faith grows. The more the faith spreads, the more the church grows. Yes, heaven begins now as we bear one another's burdens. Some of you may recall that 4 weeks ago today was that bitterly cold weekend. Do you kind of remember that? And so we had the same worship team, you know, worship team, what would that be? Worship team three? Well, worship team three was, or two, was on deck that weekend. And so Diane and Kathy and John and Dave, they decided after church that they would go out to grab a quick bite together at some fast food place. And as they were getting out of their cars, Diane spotted a homeless person on the corner. Now, while some of us might be tempted to simply look the other way and pretend that we didn't see him, or to maybe just toss a little change their direction, or to hand them a couple dollars a bill or a candy bar or something, not Diane. Because if you know Diane, Diane has a big heart and a passion for the homeless. And so she marches right over to this homeless person and she introduces herself to him and gets acquainted with him and invites him to join them for lunch. And so he came in and joined them for lunch and they're eating lunch together, and Diane's asking him questions about his life and getting acquainted. And because it was that bitterly cold weekend, near the end of the meal, she said, and he was going to save part of the meal, for later, he said. She said, do you have anything warmer to wear? He didn't hardly even have a coat on, barely a jacket. And no, that was all he had to wear. And so they put their heads together as a group, and John remembered that he had a warm hat in the trunk of his car. I think it was one of those goofy-looking Minnesota hats with the flaps. Because you know, in Minnesota, you don't care what you look like. You know, you just want to stay warm. And John probably wanted to get rid of that. I don't know, but it was a great warm hat. So he passed that on, and then he had no warmer jacket. So they said, would you be willing to go with us to the nearest Kmart? So kind of some trust on his part. He got in the car with him, nearest Kmart. They picked up a warmer coat, and they picked up a little backpack for him, and bought him, you know, some personal things that he could use out in the cold there. And so eventually they dropped him off and they headed back to where the cars were originally parked and where they kind of carpooled, and then as they were and they chatted a little bit, and then as they headed back, they were looking for him to see if he was still on the corner. And in that bitterly cold weather, they spotted him to see that he had already given away his coat and that he had already given away his warm hat to another homeless person, an elderly female companion. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes it is the poorest of the poor, and it is the most humble of the humble that show us what it's all about. what Scripture says when it invites us to bear one another's burdens. Yes, heaven is now as we bear one another's burdens. But of course, bearing one another's burdens can become exhausting at times, as we all know. And so Paul addresses that next. Take a look at what Paul has to say at the bottom of the page there in verse 9. Page 1493. Whoops. I'm way off on pages. Here we go. The bottom of page 1673. In verse 9. Where Paul says this, let's read verse 9 together. Paul says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." In other words, heaven begins now as we find our rest in Christ. You know what? I have a hunch that Paul may have been preaching to himself at this point. And that maybe we get a little bit of a clue of that at the very end of his letter. Take a look at the very end of the letter, second to the last verse, verse 17, I think it is, where Paul says, "Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." What's that mean? Well, as we know, Paul in his ministry literally was beat up at times. And that in his ministry, he was literally bloodied and left with scars in the course of his ministry. Ministry can be hard. Life can be hard. How many of you were with us last week? When we sang with Leap of Faith, remember, with Leap of Faith, we oftentimes sing, "We believe in God and we all need Jesus. Because life is hard." Isn't that the truth? Life can be so hard. And sometimes it's hard for reasons that are totally beyond our control. Things happen to us, whether it's tsunamis or blizzards or hurricanes or somebody hitting us on the highway and we're driving properly. Things happen to us. But other times life is hard because we sometimes bite off more than we can chew. Sociologists sometimes have described the baby boomer generation. You've all heard of the baby boomer generation. I'm an aging baby boomer. Sociologists sometimes have described the baby boomer generation as the generation that has wanted to have it all. Have you heard that before? And of course, they think it's probably not limited to the baby boomer generation. I think it probably references our consumeristic American society very much. We're a generation, a culture that wants to try to have it all. And so we try to cram it all in. We try to do it all and have it all. And what we're slowly learning is that our efforts to try to have it all and do it all is a recipe for disaster sometimes. A recipe for disasters for our marriages or for our jobs or for our family life. A recipe for disaster for our health as we hit the wall with exhaustion sometimes. And so when Paul comes along then in verse 9 here and says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up hope," is Paul saying to us now, "Suck it up! Try harder. Don't you dare get tired. Don't you even think about getting tired." You know, kind of like the coach out on the field. "Don't you even, you think you're tired? You wait till you see tired." Is that what Paul's doing here? I think not. That would really be the voice of the law, wouldn't it? If some of us heard it that way today, we heard the curse of the law. We heard the voice of the law. It seems to me that this is really a word of grace. That as Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good," he's really saying, "Let's not grow weary in doing good, because if you are growing weary, then rest. Rest, slow down, rebalance your life, reorder your priorities. If you are growing weary, then get some help. Slow down, rest in the Lord." But, what's the very end of the verse saying? "But don't give up." Yes, that's really, really a word of grace to us here this morning. We can say heaven is now as we find our rest in Christ. So on this Transfiguration Sunday, we had kind of a ghost story for our gospel lesson today, didn't we? We had kind of a ghost story. where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain to pray. Now, one of the very best things we can do when we are battling exhaustion or feeling weary, as Paul's talking about here, or worn, is to take some time, some quiet time, to pray. So did you notice what happened while Jesus was praying on the mountaintop? What happened? Suddenly, his appearance changed, and the glory of the Lord shone all around him. And suddenly there were two ghosts that showed up and started talking to Jesus. Now, who were those two ghosts that showed up? I'm looking to some of the younger faces here. Who were those two ghosts that showed up in this story that were talking? Who was it?
Moses and Elijah.
How about that? They had died hundreds of years earlier, hadn't they? And here they are. Well, this gets Peter's attention, and Peter gets so excited, he doesn't want to leave there. In fact, Peter wants to start a construction project. Do you notice that? Hey, let's build something. Let's build a booth. Or let's build a shelter, an altar for one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But before anything else happens, suddenly a cloud envelops them, and a voice from the cloud says the very same thing that the voice from the cloud said with Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now that's the part of prayer I think we sometimes miss. We get the part of prayer where we are invited to take our concerns to the Lord, our burdens to the Lord, our petitions to the Lord. And so we're pretty good at that. We've got our long list, our grocery list, our laundry list, if you will, of concerns to bring to the Lord. But sometimes we forget the part where God says, listen to him. So maybe one of the things that we should probably consider this morning is this. What is Jesus saying to us now? Right now, today, with these stories, with our situation in life. Yes, the voice from the cloud says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Yes, heaven begins now as we find our rest in Christ. Well, as you can imagine, Paul ends his letter to the Galatians on a note of grace. Surprise, surprise, right? I kind of like how Britt ends his emails. He's got a little email signature that says, have some grace. So it's kind of like Paul is ending his letter saying, have some grace. Let's take a look at that very last verse and read it together, the last verse of Galatians. And in verse 18, Paul says this as he ends the letter. Let's read it together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Did you notice that? I love how Paul puts it there. He says, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So how is your spirit today? Was your spirit dragging just a little bit coming in here today? Then hopefully today in our worship and today with God's Word, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ. We can say heaven, it begins now as we embrace Jesus' grace in our spirit. You noticed earlier in our service that we were announcing that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of Lent. And those of you that have been around here in recent years, you know that Ash Wednesday has become probably the second biggest night of the whole year here at Faith Community. It's wonderful. I mean, Christmas Eve is obviously the big night with four pack services, but Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, that two huge nights too. And Ash Wednesday, really, if you haven't been with us in recent years, the Spirit of God seems to be moving in such a powerful way. So don't miss out as we receive the imposition of ashes, as we're reminded that we are dust and to dust we shall return. Sadly, sometimes Christians see Lent as a burden, as one more thing in the midst of busy lives, already busy lives. But really the better way to think of Lent is that Lent is that God had been given opportunity to retreat. To retreat from the busyness of our lives. To retreat into the rest of His Spirit, to retreat into our Lenten journey where we focus on the cross of Christ and Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf with the cross of Christ. It's that opportunity to disconnect from the busyness of this world so that we can disconnect to the greater things of God. And to know in a deeper way the grace that the Holy Spirit has to offer us. And so we gather to worship, to receive humbly that grace and peace of the Holy Spirit. Our Lenten theme this year, as you saw, is chocolate for Lent. And as we receive chocolate each Wednesday night, did you get that? As we receive chocolate each Wednesday night, especially aiming at the kids here, don't you dare let your parents miss Wednesday nights for Lent this year. As we receive chocolate for Lent each Wednesday night, one of the things we're going to learn is that dark chocolate is actually good for you. Did you know that? It's actually good for you. And I'm not promising we're going to get dark chocolate every Wednesday night, but we're going to get chocolate every Wednesday night. And you can learn more about the health benefits of dark chocolate in your Chocolate for Lent Lenten devotional, which you'll find out in the narthex as you leave today with Nanette's wonderful first devotion at the beginning there. She goes down the list about 10 things that are good about dark chocolate there. But we do hope that you'll join us, because it is a busy world and we do become weary and worn in doing good. We hope you'll join us for Lent as we draw near to God and as we consider the greater things of God's goodness and grace that the Holy Spirit has to offer. I heard a great story about grace from a Minnesota pastor friend of mine. He posted this story on Facebook about a month ago, and where he shares the story of how he first discovered the secret of his friend's amazing apple harvest one fall. And he was asking his friend about that harvest, and the friend explained that, you see, a year ago the previous spring, there had been a late frost. Well, you know what a late frost does. Late frost kind of stunts the everything, stunts the blossom, stunts the growth. And so, of course, that following fall, there was a lousy apple harvest. But when there is a late frost, and maybe some of you know this far, far better than I do, when there is a late frost, apple trees do an amazing thing. They store up the energy in thousands and thousands and thousands of little nodules called scions in the branches of the tree. They store up that energy till the following spring, after the bad spring, the following spring, when bam! There's an explosion of apple blossoms, so that bam! The following fall, there's an explosion of a wonderfully heavy apple harvest. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes the hard frosts of life and the hard times of life have a way of freezing our hearts. But then later a miracle happens. At the right time. At the right time in God's time. Healing and God's grace can burst forth in a new way with new life. As we prayerfully consider how God can raise up new life from the ashes of our lives and the hard frosts of our lives, let's watch this video.
That's frail and torn.
Gracious God, that's where we are sometimes in our lives, feeling weary and worn. And so we pray that we might use that as an invitation to disconnect from all that is tearing us down, that we might reconnect to you. We give thanks, therefore, Lord, for the Lenten journey that is about to begin. 40 days where we might draw closer to you. 40 days where we might look to you. 40 days where we might look to the cross. 40 days where we might look at some of the good things in our lives that we might give up to receive the greater things of your grace and mercy. Lord, we pray that as we walk in the Spirit, we might bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And Lord, when we are feeling weary and worn, may we remember that your grace is enough.